good to be here again this year. Like I said in the Sunday School Hour, we appreciate this church and just appreciate the time when we come over here every year. And it's just, you've been a blessing to us, and hope we'll be a blessing to you while we're here this week. And this is one of the few churches there's anymore that does a Sunday through Friday revival meeting. Most of them today are going through Sunday and through Wednesday. And I got some that are only doing Sunday and Wednesday, and some that are only doing Saturday and Sunday. And they've just cut way back, Pastor, over these years. One year, I remember one year I only had two full week meetings. I was here at another church in Michigan where I went. And the next year, I couldn't believe it. I had like 13 full week meetings, Sunday through Friday. Wow. You know, I was complaining to the Lord about that. I said, how come, Lord? And, well, he just took care of that. And I'm sort of glad that it's backed off now a little bit. But, no, I enjoy these meetings. It just seemed like you get started by Wednesday night, amen. And then to shut it down Wednesday night, sometimes I got so much more I want to say. And everybody usually says, well, you got so much more to say, but we don't really want to listen anymore, amen. And I don't blame them, amen, let me tell you. Nehemiah this morning with me, if you would please, the book of Nehemiah. And I do mean it when I say it's a joy to be here. This church feels like family to us when we come, and just the fellowship over the years, and we enjoy you and enjoy your pastor. And I met your pastor's son, Shane, before I ever met your pastor, amen. And then I met you, preacher. I think the first time I met you, I remember you walking into a meeting down in Wiscoy, New York, in a fellowship meeting. And you had your hat on, and you walked in, and I thought you were a visitor from the community. And I probably tried to lead to the Lord. I don't know, but no, I knew who you were. And because brother, I'm trying to think real quick. Craig at the time was helping that church, and asked me if I'd come down there and preach their first revival meeting. And they had their brother Don and Carol Merritt there, and then he hosted a big fellowship meeting at the same time. So at the fire hall, I believe they rented the room at the fire hall, if I remember right. And we had the fellowship meeting at the fire. And I think that's the first time that I met you personally. And then you had me come here, and you've probably been sorry ever since. But I enjoy coming here. Amen. So, well, Nehemiah with me in chapter 4 this morning. I'm going to ask if you would stand with me. And I'm not going to preach from this chapter, but I just want to look at verse 1 of chapter 1. Would you stand with me? Let's read verse 1 of chapter 1. Then I want to look at some other things here in the book of Nehemiah. He said, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Father, thank you and for your word. Now I ask God that you'd use it this morning to speak to our hearts, please, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I look at this, if you go from chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 2, verse 1, you have a five-month period that spanned in that period where I believe where Nehemiah, Pastor, was probably in prayer, amen, during that time, and brokenhearted over his people, the nation of Israel at that time. And then in chapter 2, you'll see where, if you read that later on, you can. You see where Nehemiah has such a heavy burden for the things of the Lord that the king even recognizes that, because he's down in the face when he comes into the presence of the king, which, by the way, could have meant his death. Amen. It could have meant his death, because he was not pleasant in the presence of the king, nor smiling, nor happy, nor how doest thou today, O king? You know, I don't know, but he could have lost his life over this. But yet the king asked him how come he was down in his countenance, how come he was this way, and then he told the king about this. And then what I really like about this text, and this is not where I'm preaching from, amen, but just give you a little bit of opening to this thought today that I want to preach from. He says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, I don't think that his prayer was an open mouth prayer before the king, amen. I think Jeremiah right there, or Nehemiah right there in his mind, Pastor, said, Lord, what should I ask? Amen. And I know what's on my heart, what I need to do, and I need to go back to Jerusalem. And so he puts all this before the king. And then to top that off, he asks the king, he said, could you give me a letter that when I go across the river, that I can give this letter, and they will provide the wood, and they give me safe passage all the way? And then you come to verse 10 of this text. And this is a fellow that I want to focus in on a little bit today. And I want to apply this. And I know, just so you understand, I know what Nehemiah is all about and where Nehemiah is going. But I want to make some application to the believer today. I'm not even preaching from verse 2, but it's interesting. In verse 2, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. They had squelched Israel, the children of Israel, this remnant that was left there during this captivity. They had squelched them underneath their thumb. And they got what they wanted. They had broken the backs of the nation of Israel. And these fellows here were part of this after they had gone into the captivity. These fellows here, these men here, these nations here were just wreaked havoc on Israel. And you think about the poor people in Israel during that time had absolutely nothing. And if they did gain anything, Pastor, it all was taken from them many times by these men, Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite. So now, he says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Alright? Now, let's go with me, if you will, to verse 19 of the same text. The second time you see here. Now, it sort of bothered Sanballat the first time. The second time, it said, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, and watch this, and Gershom the Arabian, they got a third one in there with them now, heard it, in verse 19 of chapter 2, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And now they're saying he's rebelling against the king, yet he has letters from the king. They did not like Nehemiah. They did not like the fact that Nehemiah came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to set up the gates again. Now let's jump to chapter 4. I'm going to skip through chapter 3. You can look at this later on. It talks about how he's going to build the wall and who's doing what part of the wall, who's doing what part of the gate and the opening for the gate and who's doing. He's going through all that, the builders here in chapter 3. But you come to chapter 4, the Bible says this, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that he rebuilded the wall. Now here's the wall, finished. Watch this. Or supposed to be finished. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, I want to give you a thought, and you understand where Nehemiah is at, what Nehemiah is all about. Well, I'm going to make some application from the few verses in this text that I want to look at. On this thought here, why we don't have revival today. Why we don't have revival today. Why we don't see it like in times past. Like we don't see it back in the day of Billy Sunday. Why we don't, in fact, in the day of Billy Sunday, he could come into a town. He would send people in a month ahead of time. And they would go and they would, these teams would go and they would knock on a door in the community and somebody would come to the door and answer the door and they would say something like this to them. Billy Sunday is coming here next month or in 6 weeks or however long. And we would like once a week if we could or nightly sometimes. But we would like to ask if you would host a prayer meeting in your home. And these were people that they were knocking on doors of people who heard of Billy Sunday, but they weren't even saved, Pastor, many times. And they would get they would start a prayer meeting. That no wonder he had such a successful ministry. They would start a prayer meeting in his home or in their home And then by the time the revival meeting started, sometimes many, 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 many people had already been saved by the grace of God. And boy, and he saw some great revival times around the country. Amen? Well, I want to look at this. I want to apply this text to us today in this mannerism. I just wanted to give you that background so you understand. I know what Nehemiah is about. You know what Nehemiah is about. But I want to make application to you and me today. With this thought, he said, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Well, I wrote down this. Number one, we don't believe it will happen. The reason we don't see revival today in our country, the reason we don't see revival in many, many churches today, is we don't believe it can happen. He says, well, they're going to revive the stones? And sometimes we look at that. I got a fellow just recently made this statement to me. He said, in fact, in a meeting where he was preaching, and I disagreed with him, and I let them know it, amen, but he made this statement. He said, We will never have revival in America again because God will not revive a bloody nation. Now, I disagree with him in this respect, Pastor. I agree with that part of the bloody nation, amen. And we very well might not have revival nationwide because of that. But if America would repent, we could have revival.
That's right.
Because it's not based on what the nation is doing. It's based on what the nation could do if they would repent of the sin of this nation. If they would stop the abortions, if they would stop the murders of the babies, they would, preacher, we could be on the verge then at that time of seeing revival nationwide across the country. But here's the mentality, even of many born-again believers today, it will never happen. Well, if we go around thinking it will never happen, guess what? It will never happen. We need to get on the bandwagon with this stuff as believers in Jesus Christ to stand firm and not back down. And what the reason we don't have is because we don't believe it will happen. In fact, we don't believe sometimes it will happen in our churches. We don't believe it will happen in our families. We don't believe it will happen sometimes, excuse me, in other people's lives. We don't believe it will happen. It's a sad statement of the truth today. Do you believe today that you could have revival? Because it has to begin with you, amen. It has to start with where you're at. It has to start in your heart. It has to. And sometimes we look at everybody else in the church and we say, well, you know, if they would do this or if they would do this or do this, the church would be better. Well, how about if we just did what we need to do, amen? How about if we just got right with God, amen? I think the church would be better if we just all got right with God, amen, and got our heart where it ought to be in the relationship with Jesus Christ where it ought to be as the children of God. Well, they said, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish? Thank you. Boy, I tell you, you're a blessing. I don't care what your husband says. Anybody out here on medication? How many of you on medication? You know how it dries you out, amen? It dries me out something terrible when I take these pills. Well, we see that I believe it's not going to happen because we don't believe it will happen. Number two, we don't believe it will last. You think about this for a moment. I'll read you the text in just a minute here, the verse I want to go with this. But we don't believe it will last. Here's why. How many times have you seen somebody go to the altar to get something right with God? And then what's the first thought in your mind? Is it usually, Pastor, well, praise the Lord, they're getting right with God? Or is it usually, many times, there they go again? Amen? And usually it's the opposite. Usually it's, there they go again. They're at the altar one more time. Well, praise the Lord, amen? Maybe that's where we need to be, at the altar one more time. One more time, one more time. But that's the mentality that we have in our church. We want to know why we don't have revival. We don't believe it's going to last. We go, oh yeah, they'll get it. Yeah, yeah, boy, look at how excited. I know a young man, let me tell you, I know a young man that has some struggles with some mental issues, probably because of some physical things. And boy, he'll get on the bandwagon when he starts to get off his medication, Pastor. He just gets on fire for God. And you see something there about him. And then he thinks, well, now I can just quit taking my medication. And then he goes haywire, amen. But during that time, boy, he'll in our own church, he was a prayer warrior. He'd come in every Wednesday night and pray before the service. He'd pray with our pastor in the church. He would pray, and he would take time to pray with the people, and he would pray. He was a prayer warrior. Just come and stop by to see the pastor and pray. And Pastor said, Brother Mike, he's in here. Two or three times a week, just praying with me, and it's just so refreshing that someone's praying for me. And I didn't want to tell the pastor, just wait, you'll see. Amen. Because that's where my mentality was. And he'll come in to get things right with God. And sometimes he'll come in even when he still gives his tithe. Amen. He'll bring his tithe in once a month. I give it to the church when he gets his check. And he just struggles with so many things. And my mentality, I watched him so many times, and I always think, Brother Overton, well, it ain't going to last. Amen. And that's my mentality. You've been there. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. And that's a bad mentality to have. We ought to say, praise the Lord. At least for right now, don't even say that, amen. But he's right with God. Hallelujah. It's good to see people get right with God, amen. Regardless of how long it lasts or not. Because how long it lasts, can I tell you this? How long it lasts is not up to you.
That's right.
It's not up to me. Can I tell you that? It's not up to you and it's not up to me. How long it lasts. What's good is that it's happening.
Yeah.
And one day, who knows when, maybe it'll just take place, Pastor, where the heart is completely healed mentally. Amen. Because God can do that.
Amen.
But don't ever get to the thought where you think it won't last, because revival can't last. I've seen churches where people say it won't last. You know, had a 13-week revival, 14-week revival down in North Carolina last year, and I've heard preachers always saying, well, it's not lasting. You know, they're not having revival this year. You know, a 5-week revival down in Alabama a few years ago, Pastor. You know, and Brother Fred Fowler or Flowers down there, and a 5-week revival with five independent, fundamental King James only Baptist churches, and there were 6 or 7 of all, but 5 of them to put it together in the same town. Amen. You can get that in Alabama, amen. The 5 independent, fundamental, King James loving Baptist churches and actually got together for 5 weeks and had a revival meeting. And I've even heard down there, well, it didn't last. Well, no, they had 120 some odd people get saved, amen. Had prostitutes that are no longer prostituting. Had drug dealers no longer drug dealing. I think something lasted, amen. But our mentality is we don't see something exciting, and so we say it's not lasting. How do you know, amen? What God's doing in that heart. Look what he says here in verse. I didn't even give you the scripture yet. Amen. The point is, we don't believe it will happen. He says, now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down. He shall even break down their stone wall. It ain't gonna last. Go ahead, let him build it. Let him finish it. It ain't gonna last. A fox will tear it down. A fox is gonna destroy it. And boy, we look at every little thing as a fox and going to destroy revival in our hearts and in our church. And by the way, don't let a fox destroy your revival in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Don't let some little thing come in there and start digging away and digging away and digging away. But keep it right with God as a child of God. Let God do what He wants to do in your life and in your heart. Let Him do what He wants to do in the church. Amen. Let God have His way as a believer in Jesus Christ. But we don't believe that it will last sometimes. And then thirdly, you say you're going pretty quick. That's all right. I got 3 more after this. Amen. So you just hang on. Amen. Verse 7 says this. Verse 6 says, so we built the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Amen. Now let me just say this. You have to have a mind for revival. I mean, that's not the point, but you can write that down as a point for yourself. Amen. Preach it later, Pastor. They'll forget all about this next week anyway. You got a sermon for next Sunday. But, you know, you can see here in this part, they had a mind to work. Have a mind to work. Have a mind for revival. Have a mind for revival. Decide that's what you want as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we need revival. Do you? You know, a lot of people would say that, but I don't know if they really want it, Pastor. Amen. Well, and they'll say we want revival, but I don't think they know if they really need it. Amen. I think there's a lot of people that think, well, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Can I tell you, this is preacher needs revival? Well, every day I need it. And some days I don't experience it, and it's not because of God. It's not because of my wife. It's not because of my children. It's not because of grandchildren. It's because of me. Amen. If I don't experience revival, Pastor, it's not. I can't blame that on the devil. So I'm not going to have revival because the devil is digging away. No, I'm not going to have it because it's me, my problem, my difficulty, my hardships, my sin is going to keep me from having the little things that dig away at me that I don't confess to God and chase away and get rid of in my life. That's going to hinder revival. It's going to hinder revival in your life. Well, he says in verse 7 and verse 8, here's the next point. You can write down what you want, amen, but here's what I wrote down. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, here's another group, listen to this again. And now Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians and the Ammonites, and watch this, and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls, man, they added two more now, amen. He says that the walls of Jerusalem are made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth. Boy, they did not like that. You're taking away their welfare. Amen. You talk about Israel being in bad shape. They had a welfare state. These other nations had a welfare state. They're taking advantage of everybody else and not doing their own work. And he says here, the breaches began to be stopped when they were very wroth. And conspired, now watch, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Well, you look down a little bit later. Let's just go down to verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers and the burdens is deceived or decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now back to 7 and 8, here's what I wrote. We don't believe we can win. We don't believe we can win. We believe many times that we are fighting a losing battle, Pastor. And here's what we blame on us sometimes. We say this, well, it's the end times. Well, sure, it's the end times. But I don't see anywhere in the end times, just because it's the end times, that I should give up. I don't see where I should stop knocking doors. I don't see where I should stop telling people or giving gospel tracts. I don't see where I should stop preaching. I don't see where I should stop reading. I don't see where I should stop praying. I don't see where I should stop going to church. I don't see where I should stop going to Sunday school. I don't see why I should stop going to Wednesday night. I don't see where the Bible says that, amen. The Bible tells me until He comes, I am to press on. Until He comes, I am to go forward. Until He comes, I am supposed to preach. Until He comes, I am supposed to live a godly witness before this lost, sin-sick, dying world. Amen. Until He comes. But sometimes we just believe, we believe we can't win. So we give up. Right. And we throw in the towel. We used to, when I was a kid, if you got in a fist fight with somebody, and trust me, I have plenty of them because of my mouth, before I was saved, Brother Overton, amen. And won a lot of them, but lost a few, amen. And that guy be sitting on top of your chest and have your arms pinned beneath you and busted in the face, bang, 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 bang. You know, eventually you'll say, you can't even throw your arms up because then you go, I'm done, I quit, I give, you know, bang, a couple more just for... You know, I got hit quite a few times like that. Broke my nose 3 times, brother. One for the baseball, amen. Not in a fight with a baseball, but playing baseball. And 2 in a fight, you know. So, you know, it gets rough. But we would give up. The problem was when I'd stand up, I'd start again. You know, I was hard. I didn't want to throw in the towel, amen. I might say I give, but then when that guy got up, look out, I'm coming back at him, amen. And then I get knocked down again, get hit a few more times, you know. And finally, I just had to walk away, you know. Finally, you just say, okay, I'm done. Throw in the towel until you see him next time. No, don't even think about that. But here's the thing. We give up. We say we can't have it. We say it's not going to happen. We say, oh, every time I get something right with God, He just... He shows me something else. Every time the preacher preaches, I get something right with God. And then the next time he preaches, God shows me something else. I can't win. It's not going to happen. Yes, it can happen. Right. Yes, it can happen. You know what? The next time you hear something from God in His Word, when the preacher's preaching or you're reading your Bible, get right with God. Just get right with God. Amen? Just get right with God. that you can go on and serve the Lord and do what you're supposed to do as a believer in Jesus Christ? Well, we don't believe we can win sometimes. And then verse 8 again, he said, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Here's the next thing I wrote down. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And I wrote down, we fight sometimes. We fight against revival. We fight against it. Here's what I mean by that. If you don't have to put up your hand, I'll put up my hand. Amen. Have you ever been in a preaching service and the Lord has spoken to your heart? Amen.
Yeah.
The Lord has spoken to your heart. And when the invitation's given, you don't move. I've been there. Amen. You don't move. And sometimes we don't move because pride keeps us from moving. We're worried what our husband or our wife or our children or our parents are going to think. Because we don't move, amen. And sometimes we don't move because we're in a position of authority, maybe in a church pastor, and we're afraid what people are going to think. You know, well, if I go forward, you're going to think I'm just living a wicked, ungodly life. No, you're going forward because you want to get things right with God, period, amen. No matter if it's what we would say wicked is, or no matter if it's the littlest thing, get right with God, just get right with God, amen. That's what it comes down to for you and I as believers in Christ. But we fight against it. Our spirit fights against the Spirit of God. We're contrary, the Bible says, one to another. That's a continual battle between my flesh and my spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ. My spirit don't want to give in. My flesh don't want to give in. My spirit wants to, Pastor. My flesh don't want to give in. And so I fight revival. You fight revival. We all fight revival. The church fights revival sometimes. Boy, if we have revival, then we're going to have to maybe get out of our comfort zone and do something just a little bit different.
That's right.
I'm not talking about music, Pastor. I'm not talking about getting away from church. I'm not talking about only going to one service a week. I'm talking about sometimes it's just a matter that we're just going to have to step out of our comfort zone and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say this carefully, but we have allowed Pentecostalism to rob us of working in the Holy Spirit in our own churches.
That's right.
They've misused the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're afraid to use the Holy Spirit. We don't have revival because we don't believe we can win. We don't believe that we can. We don't believe it will last. We don't believe it will happen. And then we fight against it in our own flesh. We fight against revival. And I like what he says again in verse 9. Even though all this was going on, and even though they we're fighting against Jerusalem. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Boy, you want revival, you better get that thing prayed up to God. Amen. Our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Set watch against sin. Put a guard in your heart. Put a guard in your mind. Your mind and your heart being synonymous one with the other. Put a guard in your life. Put a guard in your family. Put a guard at the church. I'm talking about spiritually speaking here. That you can experience something. They prayed for it. They set a guard against it day and night because of them. They had a watch. That means they had a guard. They had somebody preparing and looking. And if trouble was coming, they were going to sound it out and say, it's coming, it's coming. Be ready, be prepared. Well, look with me if you would. Again, down to verse 9 and verse 10. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now watch Judah. Watch the remnant here. The remnant. I love it. Because they even get discouraged. Where they don't think they can fight against it. And it brings them to the point here where it says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And I wrote down, here's what I wrote down, and we don't have revival today because we don't think we have rubbish. We don't think we have dirt in our lives. We don't think we have something in our hearts that would hinder God working in our lives. I've gotten over this mentality years ago, Pastor, that that if you don't dot every T and every I like I do, then you can't be right with God. I got over that a long time ago, amen. Because I want to tell you what, my friend, not everybody's going to agree with me, and I'm not going to agree with everybody else. But I tell you, what we need to get that out of our life. That's rubbish. I want to tell you that mentality will keep you from having revival. That mentality, but just because someone doesn't agree with you, sometimes even in the local church, they don't agree with you 100%. So therefore, because they don't agree with you, or look at you, or they say I disagree, we say, well, they're just not right with God. I've seen people in churches, Pastor, around our country, and I get in a lot of churches over the years, but I've seen churches that have churched people. That means they have kicked them out because they disagreed with something that was said. Now, not meanly, they just disagreed with it. Amen? Sad, that's sad. Amen. That a preacher, a man of God, can't get up and preach the Word of God. And then someone in the church comes to him and says, you know, I don't know if I see it that way, preacher. Well, you're done. You get out of here. If you don't see it the way I see it, leave. I've seen that. I've seen it more than one time. I've seen it a few times, amen. And the sad fact of the matter, Brother Dave, is when I've seen that happen, usually that preacher's no longer there. 10 years later, he's gone. Or fallen off into sin somewhere. I'll tell you what, we think we don't have rubbish. We think we don't have any, I almost went golfing, amen. We don't think we have any dirt to sweep. We don't think we need a vacuum cleaner. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need Him to get the garbage out of our life by repentance and getting on our knees before Him and confessing things and making it right to a holy God, amen. We do need revival. But we don't think we have rubbish. But we need to clear it out. We need to clean it up. We need to repent of it. We need to pray. Take it before God. Let Him do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it. Don't fight Him anymore, but give in, amen. Well, look at the next thought with me. Down in verse 10 again, it says that in the end of verse, so that we are not able to build a wall. And our adversaries, watch this one. Our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, they told us this 10 different times, they said, oh, it ain't going to last, it ain't going to work. From all these places, we're going to come in and destroy it. From all places, once ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, set I in the lower places, behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And here's what I wrote down. It's simply this, that number six, I guess, I don't know, five, I guess. We're not prepared. We're not prepared for revival. I remember the day in many churches where we have been part of over the number of years, that when we get ready to have revival services, Pastor, we'd have a 24-hour prayer vigil. And we'd have a clock that would be drawn out on a paper, and then you were asked to take a 15-minute slot around that clock somewhere in that 24 hours. And very few people would take after midnight, amen. But we'd get a few, and not all 24 hours was always filled. I remember one time, I believe, where it was filled years ago in New Lyme, Ohio. We did something like that, and I believe that every one of them 15 minutes throughout the day was taken up. And it was not a big church, and so therefore many people took 3 or 4 different time slots throughout the day, Pastor, and prayed for 15 minutes at a time for that revival meeting. And we saw some revivals in that church, I believe. We would say revival, but we saw people getting saved, we saw people getting right with God, we saw the church take off and grow a little bit. You know, and that's what it's all about, amen. Not just saying, you don't always see church growth when you see revival, Pastor, amen. But you'll see a change in the church. Right. You'll see a change in the people. You'll see a change in the attitude when you see revival in the house of God. And we're not prepared. We need to be prepared. We need to be prayed up, amen. I know this church prays, amen. I know this church brings. I know, excuse me, I'll take another sip in a minute. I know this church prays for me. Brother Overton, I guarantee you this church prays for you and your dear wife back there. They pray for you, amen. And you pray for your missionaries. I know you pray for Brother Shane, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell him you quit praying. I'm going to call him and tell him you quit praying for him. No, I'd never do that, amen. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We need to clear the rubbish. We need to fight for revival, not against it. We need to believe that we can win.
Amen.
And we need to believe that it will last. And we need to believe that we can have it. Amen. We need to believe. But we need to clean the rubbish out. We need to be prepared for it. And we prepare through the very truth of the Word of God. Verse 17 says, they which build it on the wall, and they which bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. I mean, you know, I could just envision this in my head. Try laying a brick, Pastor, with just one hand, amen. You could do it, I guess, but the whole thing there, they were prepared. They were ready for the war, for the battle. Amen. Are you ready for the battle in order to obtain revival? For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so he and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon a wall one from another. If in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. You just show up, amen. God's going to do the battle. He's going to do the fight. So we labored, verse 21, in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Man, they were, you talk about working all day, preacher. You know, we were talking the other day about you know, these 8-9 hour days anymore. It's just getting a little bit rough now, amen. And I do 5 or 6 hours, and I'm just about laid out, man. I'm about where I like to kill myself a couple weeks ago, putting a new hot water tank on my trailer. They had that thing so glued in there, I could not believe the rubber stuff they put in there. And it took me forever, me and another guy, 2.5 hours to take the stinking tank out, amen. Had unhooked in 2 minutes, had to pull it out of there. And by the time that day was over, put an awning on our trailer. By the time that day was over, I was wore out. I was wore out. Likewise, he says in verse 22, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with a servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. But once the stars come out, we'll take a rest. Now, I like this next part. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. Otherwise, they didn't put on their bed clothing. Amen. It says a saving that everyone put them off for washing. That's a good thing, amen. That's a good thing. You know, I don't know, preacher, you and I was done hooking up this trailer the other day, and I was pretty sweaty. I saw you working on a building. You look like you was pretty wet yourself, amen. Yeah, I hope it was sweat, amen. You look like you was wet yourself, Father. I mean, you were soaked, you know. I'll tell you what, that'll take it off. But aren't you glad, sister, that he changed his clothes that night? Aren't you glad he got cleaned up before he got to bed? Amen. Well, that's what they did here. They were ready, but they were prepared. They went to bed and they slept with their clothes on, but they washed them, but they were ready. We need to be ready any moment, any second, any day for Christ to come. But we need to be ready any moment, any second, any day that we might experience revival. Are you ready? Do you want revival? Amen. We're not going to have it if we don't believe it will happen. We're not going to have it. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two questions this morning. The first question is this. Has there been a time in your life when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And you could tell me without a shadow of a doubt. You could say, Mike, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I know I will go to heaven. If you can say that, would you just put up your hand? Just put up your hand. You say, I know for sure. I know I'm saved. Just stick it up. You can put them down. Amen. God bless you. If you could not raise your hand, if you could not, can I pray for you? About right now. Anybody at all? You could not raise your hand, man. God bless you. Amen. I'll pray for you. I really will. Amen. You can put that down. Second question is this morning. In fact, I'm not even going to ask the second question. I'm going to do it when we get the invitation. Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you just slip out and come? All right? If the Lord spoke to your heart, you just slip out and come in just a moment here. Father, I thank you for this one that raised their hand, Lord. Father, if they have trusted Christ, you know their heart. But God, if there's a need yet for salvation, I pray that they would talk to someone this morning. Talk to pastor, talk to somebody, Father, about their need for Jesus Christ in their life. God, I pray that you'd have your will accomplished. Now be with these, Father, who have listened to the words of God this morning, that you'd have your will and way accomplished in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our brothers at the piano, heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come. How about it? You just come. God bless you. Amen. Come on. You can always sit down in the front pew if you need to. The Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and you come. Come on. God bless you. Amen. Come on. The Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and come. How about it? God bless you. Come. You come. Let God do what he wants to do in your heart. Let him do what he wants to do. How he wants to do it. Turn it over to him. Ask him that you might experience revival in your own life and in your own heart. Ask him.